Praise the Lord for the grace and the privilege of being here again to worship, to hear the word, to be addressed, to be blessed, to better understand God's plan, to respond to it, if He gives us grace to do so. These are such precious thoughts that we hear again and again in the Word of God, that speak to us, that show us God's doings from the very beginning. People change their plans, their ways, but God always remains the same. What He has ever done, He still does today. I was particularly reminded when reading Paul's letters how God's cause was close to his heart. At one point he said, some preach out of envy, others out of jealousy, others out of bossiness. But he could say of himself that he preached the word by the commission of God, his Savior. What strikes me about this is the fact that the same pillar of fire that appeared to Moses when the people of Israel were to be brought out of Egypt, the same pillar of fire appeared to Moses and then also to Paul when the church was to be led out of Judaism and recognize that God's word was being fulfilled, that Bible prophecy was becoming a reality before their eyes. You all know that the Lord promised Abraham to bring his descendants out of Egypt after 400 years. When the time was fulfilled, God revealed himself to Moses in the pillar of fire and brought them out. Then the time of the new covenant came, and the people should and had to be brought out. God used Paul to do this. But once again, we have entered a prophetic time. Again, the Lord appeared in the pillar of fire. And that is the big difference. And only those to whom God has opened their eyes can see this big difference. Even in this time, it can be said that many preach, and it is true, they preach the gospel as far as they understand and know it. But the difference is always in what God does, not in what people do. And if someone knows those who preach the gospel, then everyone has a different way and a different method. One has it in his right arm, he says, when he prays for the sick. The other has a completely different method. The methods differ everywhere, but that is not the decisive factor. What is decisive is what God gives in terms of difference, namely His sending, His commission, what He does according to His word. Let's take 100 evangelists. They all have a different way of doing things, but that doesn't help anyone. We want God's way, the Word of God, for this time, the prophetic word that is now being fulfilled, not 100 other things, but the one thing, the thing of God that is really at stake. 100 other things are 100 other things, but they are not the thing itself. And we want the thing itself that God has ordained for this time. Let me say it again. This is what distinguishes what God is doing from everything else that people are doing at this time. God Himself makes the difference. And He already said it back then with the people of Israel. Then you will recognize the difference. And so it is to this day. Paul was able to say everywhere he testified, "The Lord has appeared to me." He could say how it happened, what happened. He could state the time and also what was said to him. And therefore, he could say that he was acting by the commission of God. We have already heard from Romans 1, and I would just like to briefly draw a few comparisons in the Word of God, because sometimes the permissible will of God is done. Sometimes the perfect will of God is carried out. And Paul says in Romans 1, I just want to read a few verses from Romans 1 and then a few verses from the last chapter of Romans 16. Romans 1 from 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to preach the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Up to here, he comes straight to the point, speaking of the gospel of God that God promised through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis 1 to Malachi, the last verse. And he immediately referred to this in chapter 16, which is the last chapter in Romans. It says at the very end, from verse 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, to work obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." We see two things here. At the beginning he says, or speaks, of the gospel of God. And here he says and emphasizes once again, and with all emphasis, the gospel that he proclaims. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." First, it was the gospel of God. Now it was his gospel. He was completely absorbed in it. The Word of God was his word. The life of God was his life. The thoughts of God were his thoughts. The ways of God were his ways. Everything had been given to him by God, and he passed it on by God's commission. And just as he says right at the beginning in Romans 1, the gospel of God, which he promised through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, he also refers to the Holy Scriptures and describes them as prophetic in the last chapter in verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, to work obedience of faith. This has always characterized the man of God. Moses went back to what God had promised Abraham. The prophet Daniel searched in his time and read what God had said through the prophet Jeremiah. All prophets, all apostles who were appointed and inspired by the Spirit of God always went back to the Word of God, which the Lord had already spoken through the mouth of other servants. Brother Branham brings a comparison from the time of Ahab, and he says that Micah went back to what God had announced through the prophet Elijah concerning the house of Ahab. He said the 400 prophesied on their own inspiration, but Micah went back to the word, and he said his vision agreed with the word that God had spoken by the mouth of Elijah, and therefore he knew that the inspiration he had was from God. He was able to say, I saw the Lord on his throne and the heavenly host standing on his right and on his left. He saw and heard, for he was in conformity with the word that God had spoken by the mouth of Elijah. Beloved, only when we are in conformity with the word of God, we will see correctly and hear correctly. This is the absolute prerequisite in the prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 23, we read in verse 16, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not by the commission of the Lord. As we looked at it yesterday evening, Paul spoke by the commission of God in Titus 1. Here we have seen it in Romans 16, in the last verses. He speaks of the commission of God. Here we are presented with people of whom it is said, they preach to you without the Lord's commission. Beloved, we must realize once and for all that God Himself determines the things that happen in His kingdom, that He gives commissions when He wants, to whom He wants, and it will always be according to His word. In His kingdom, we are not allowed to do what we want, but He must be able to do what He has set out to do. And in view of the Lord's imminent return, we have no choice but to say, Lord, Thy will be done. Whatever this will of God may be in your or my life, Thy will be done. If we can say this from the heart, God will do it. He then goes on to say, in verse, perhaps the end of verse 20, it says, in the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to hear my words. Do you realize what this is about? They would proclaim my words to my people. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. And the distinguishing mark of a true prophet sent by God has always been that he has proclaimed God's holy word according to the truth. And that has remained so to this day, and nothing will change. If we look at the lives of the men of God, the history of the people of Israel, and also the church in the New Testament, then we have to ask God for grace again and again and say, Lord, let your perfect will be done. It wasn't just that people succumbed to another person's influence and then did something on their own account, but very often it was done with the best of intentions. And I have the story of David open before me in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And then also in chapter 13. First it says, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, from verse 18, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them, and made them captains of the band. Now let's take the first part. Here people come to David who recognize that God is with him and they want to be with the one with whom God is. And I actually want that too. I want to be where God is. And I was allowed to make the decision in my time. And you all know, I knew the great world-famous evangelists personally and was even supposed to be or become the European manager of one of these evangelists in 1960. But I had to make my decision. I recognized who God was with and sided with him and therefore with God. We can't see it any other way, because that's the way it is. These men recognized that God was with David, and they sided with him. But I tell you, there can also be something connected with this, that can bring hardship to one side, as well as the other. Let's read it again, and we'll come straight to the second point. Thine are we, David. It would have been better if they had said, Lord, we are yours. That would have been better. But they said, we are yours, David. And that's not a proper saying. I never said, Brother Branham, I'm yours. But I said, My God, I'm yours. And I recognize that you have a man through whom you speak. There is a big difference between saying, This is a man of God, we stand with him. That may be very nice and well-intentioned, but it is far from the right thing. The right thing is to distinguish who we belong to, who we serve, who we follow, who has paid the price, who deserves the honor, and who has done everything for us. We must always distinguish this and then know that we are on His side and also behind the one or the ones who have been placed by God. That is the right attitude. But here they simply said, We are yours, David, and we are with you, son of Jesse. And then they even said, Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers. Yes, that's one of those things. You can say that very quickly. Beloved, all such enthusiasm can then lead to David doing what he has done here. Chapter 13, verse 1. And David consulted with the captains. Do you notice? He made them leaders. These people, he made them leaders. They were for him. They stood by him. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Let us stop here. These people were so in favor of David, he immediately appointed them as leaders. And now comes the great tragedy. God was only supposed to approve. He was only supposed to go along with it and say, You are doing well. You are doing well. Keep it up. And what happened? They put the Ark of the Covenant, and we all remember Brother Branham's sermon, they put the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart, and God's plan was that it should be carried on the shoulder by the priests. And they went about the whole thing the wrong way. And one man, when the oxen stumbled, and there will always be oxen stumbling, pulling the Ark of the Covenant, and suddenly whoever is grabbing it and still trying to hold it up, it's death. And the man was dead on the spot. But here there was singing, shouting and playing. It says in verse 8, And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. Yes, you can do something. And even before God, with all the effort, all the fervor, with everything there is, join in and come. And suddenly, death strikes. It was not God's will. There was no commission from God. They acted on their own authority. And as a result, death struck. Beloved, God's word is given to us so that we read it, so that we take it to heart. I have to return to God and His Word again and again and say, Lord, where do you want to tell me something? How do you want to tell me something? How do you want it to happen? And if you really read God's Word with an open heart before God, then the Spirit of God speaks in many different ways. Then we realize that true children of God always and at all times give the glory to God alone, and that at the same time they place themselves on the side of those who have been placed by God. But they don't say, peace be to you, David, and peace to those who are with you. Who is the man whom God has called? He is just a pile of clay like all the others. The honor belongs to God alone. David, a great man, a man after God's own heart. But these men encouraged him to do what he did. He called the leaders together, consulted with them, then presented his case to all the people, who also agreed. And it says, he was applauded by all the people, and then it came down to business. A good thing done for God, without it being in the will of God. And here Brother Branham preaches a very long sermon, trying to do God a service without it being God's will. And here we come to the heart of the matter. In the kingdom of God, there is absolutely no room for your and my actions, for your and my suggestions, for your and my counseling. In the kingdom of God, there is only room for God to do what He has set out to do. Otherwise, the new cart is of no use, the new suggestions are of no use, nor are the oxen that pull the cart. It is of no use at all. Only where God finds people that He can do what He has set out to do in the way He has determined. We remember the word from Joshua 3. When the people of Israel were about to cross the Jordan, what happened? Then the Lord instructed Joshua, saying, the priests shall come and take the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, and then they shall go before you and carry it, and you shall follow them. This was the order of the Lord God. Men who carried the word in their hearts and believed it from the bottom of their hearts were also to carry it visibly, and all who believed it were to follow them. Thus the divine decree was given, and God will never bless anything fully despite all the rejoicing, all the cymbals, all the trumpets, all the singing, all the playing, all the dancing, all the religious atmosphere that was present there. Death struck because it was not in the will of God. Beloved, may that be my lesson and all our lesson on this day. May we realize that it is not enough to say, oh yes, we know God sent the man and we are behind you, and so on. But that we all take God's side, each taking his place before God, so that he can carry out what he has set out to do. As surely the gospel was foretold in the prophetic writings, as Paul puts it, So surely, the prophetic word of the Old and New Testament has foretold what is to come to pass in this time. And we are grateful to God that we can face these words and that we can ask God to help us. There were people who were enthusiastic about David. They called out to him, "Peace be to you." He appointed them as men who stood by him. And then they became a snare for him, and death struck. But it didn't end there. If you read just one chapter further, God then gave a mighty victory, even a breakthrough. I've actually already closed the Bible, but I think I need to open it again so that you can see that something still happened afterwards. With God, nothing ends in disaster or hopelessness. With God, things end in a great victory. And we need to familiarize ourselves with this. No matter what happens in between, what thoughts come up, what events may occur, with God, it ends in victory. In chapter 14, it says, from verse 10, "And the Lord said unto him, Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God has broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim." So afterwards, David found his way. God was able to put into his heart what was to happen, and it happened at God's appointed time, in the way God intended. Despite all human failures or mistakes, God carried out what He had planned. Your and my failures will not stop God's plan. Just consider, the Almighty God should be compared to us. That is impossible. His counsel remains, and what He has planned, He carries out. Whether there are men around David or David around them, it doesn't matter. God has watched over everything and has given a great victory out of everything for the glory of His name, and has let all men know that they are poor bunglers in His presence, and was glorified beyond measure in the end. And so it will be in the end. The end will be good. Do not worry. The best is yet to come, despite everything. Perhaps someone might say, "Brother Frank, you have said so often that the best is yet to come. Do you still believe it?" I absolutely believe with all my heart that the best is yet to come, and we will rejoice in it with all our hearts. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't think we need to add anything more to the precious words that have already been said to us, but we can believe them and ponder on them in our hearts, as Mary did when the angel of the Lord spoke to her. So let us also not only be hearers of the word, but let us believe from the heart that God's word is and remains God's word. The words of men pass away, We have read it and heard it. The greatest men of God have had to fail so that one remains true, and that is the faithful God. We may fail, but one never fails. Jesus never fails. Our Lord, He remains Lord of all. Every word He has spoken will find its fulfillment, whether in the New or Old Testament. What God has spoken will find its fulfillment. Brothers and sisters, I believe we are grateful to God also for these short but marvelous words that we heard this morning by grace. So let us now stand up and worship God and lift up His name. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for this hour of grace and also for this day of grace that You have given us again. You have led and guided us to this point. Lord, we are so happy and so grateful that You have instructed us so wonderfully this morning through Your Word, how we should walk, whom we should look to, whom we should believe. Lord, we are so glad that we do not need to follow any man, but that we can follow You. Praise be to Your wonderful name. And if we follow You, Lord, and if we obey You, Lord, we also have fellowship with one another. And so we can walk together on this path that leads to heaven. Lord, I worship You. I thank You for Your precious and holy word this morning. You are so wonderful, Lord, and You speak to us so wonderfully through Your word. Lord, we thank You that we can see that we are living in the end times and that everything that Your word tells us is being fulfilled. Thank You, Lord, for every eye self that You have given by grace. Thank You for opening the understanding for Your scripture, Lord. Worship and honor to Your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.